This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day. Today inshallah we will be covering our the sixth juz of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we are we're blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get to this point in Ramadan and to get to this part of our study. The sixth juz starts with Surah An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa is the last part of the last part of Surah An-Nisa, the surah number 4. And then it starts the fifth surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah. That's the fifth surah. And that is what we are going to be. That is what we are going to cover. We're not going to cover all of Surah Ma'idah. Surah Ma'idah is in the sixth juz and in the seventh juz. So we'll cover the part of it that is in the sixth juz. Let us now look at Surah An-Nisa here. let me share my screen with you all, and we'll go from there, inshallah ta'ala. One minute, please. Okay, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. God does not love the utterance of evil words except in the case of someone who has been wronged. God hears all and knows all. إِن تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَن سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Whether you reveal any good or hide it or pardon any evil, God is forgiving and all-powerful. This introduction is a very beautiful introduction. The theme of Surah Ma'idah that we had been discussing previously was that it is the justice and mercy. Justice is the baseline. That's what you have to meet. And mercy is whatever is above it. Kindness is whatever is above that. And if you can attain that, alhamdulillah, that's all well and good. If you can't, then that is, no problem. At least you have attained, or at least you've been just. Okay, that is the main idea, the main theme that is connecting this surah or that binds this surah together. Now we look at the idea here that's expressed. Injustice should be spoken about. If a person has been wronged, they have the right to tell people that they have been wronged. لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. The time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this and accepts that a person should publicize that they have been, something that has happened to them that otherwise should be kept private, is when they have been wronged. Illa man zulim. Generally, you're not supposed to publicize, this person did this to me or that person did this to me. That is generally not something a believer is to do. But injustice should be spoken about. Because if you cover it, you are actually aiding the oppressor, the one who is being unjust. You are aiding them. And that is completely unacceptable in Islam. So this ayah is a very beautiful instruction from that perspective. This ayah also gives us the rule that, the person who is being wronged has the right to speak out against the injustice that has occurred to them. They shouldn't have to, the burden of they shouldn't carry the burden of being polite or being politically correct. They've been wronged. They have all the right to speak about what they have been wronged against. And this is how this ayah begins. This surah, or this part now of the surah, continues on to talk about people who say unjust statements about Allah's prophets and chosen ones. This is actually something that you will notice from here to the end. Unjust statements that people say about Allah, His prophets, and the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Maryam alayhi salam. Okay? For example, here is an idea, or here is an unjust statement. People who seek to make distinction between God and His messengers. وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. Say, we believe in some messengers and disbelieve in others. That is a very unjust thing, because all messengers are from Allah. You disbelieve in one, you have disbelieved in all of them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those indeed are they who are denying the truth beyond doubt. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And we have prepared a humiliating punishment for the deniers of the truth. This is, the without a shadow of a doubt, what kufr is, denying the truth. You have denied the right of Allah to choose a prophet. And that itself is tantamount to disbelief. And the believers, their idea or their identity is they make no distinction between any of these prophets. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. They are the ones who shall get these rewards. سَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. And Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. Speaking of unjust statements, ayah number 153 says, the people of the book ask you to send down for them a book from the heaven. يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, if you think that is blasphemous, فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Of Moses, they demanded something even greater than that. And what was that? فَقَالُوا أَرِنَ اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. Show us God face to face. And as a result of this blasphemous statement, a thunderbolt struck them for their evil. And after that, they ثُمَّ اتَّخَذُوا الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Then they took to the worshipping of the golden calf, even though things were clear to them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned them as well and gave Musa alayhi salam clear authority. Okay, this is an unjust statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. They said about Musa and the kind of injustices Bani Israel did towards his chosen prophet Musa, even though he was there, he was the one who rescued them. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they broke their covenant. Despite all the blessings, they broke the covenant that was given to them and rejected the signs of God. Ayah number 155. And they killed the prophets. وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٍ. And they said, our hearts are sealed. Right? Like, oh, whatever you say, we're not going to really pay attention to it. Right? This is an interesting idea. You know, someone who is stubborn and chooses to like be happy with their stubbornness, be happy with like their attitude of, yeah, I don't care, I couldn't care less. They're pleased with that. That's a very interesting situation. قَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ. In fact, God has sealed their hearts on account of their denial of the truth. And except for a few of them, they have no faith. Okay. Keep in mind, this is the Quran is going to not paint them all with the same brush. It's going to actually give the exceptions. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And we will see that again over here. لَكِنِ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ. I'm going to come to that ayah in a little bit. Okay. Speaking of killing prophets, here is them saying something very slanderous against Maryam. Ayah number 156. And then them saying even more slanderous things against Isa alayhi salam, in fact, attempting to assassinate him. And they declared, we have put to death the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of God. This is, you know, them being sarcastic. Yeah, like, yeah, look, this is the messenger of God. We were able to end him so quickly, so easily. What kind of messenger of God is he? That kind of an attitude, very, very disturbing. Historically, it was the Romans who went after Isa alayhi salam. This is something that's historical. But the inciting of that was done by the Jewish community that lived there, the Bani Israelites. They didn't protect their own. In fact, they gave him up and they were proud of giving him up. And they, you know, this was something that was a badge of honor, that they got rid of this person who they considered to be a troublemaker, somebody who superseded the law of Moses. Very, very sad, very, very disappointing, very unjust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it only seemed to them as if it had been so. He was not killed. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did was let's actually read the whole ayah. And those who differ in this matter are in doubt concerning it. They have no definitive knowledge about it, but only follow mere conjecture. But they certainly did not kill him. Rather, God Almighty raised him towards himself. And God Almighty is almighty and wise. And from the people of the book, none among them will be there, except they will believe in him before his death. This is إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِي. What it means is that everybody who would be who is a people of the scripture will believe in Isa alayhi salam as Allah's prophet and messenger before he dies, before Isa dies. Okay? And on the day of judgment, he shall be a witness against them. Let's explain what this is talking about. Firstly, it says that the Jewish community is taking credit for the killing of Isa, for the assassination of Isa. And this is a big injustice. To kill anyone is a big injustice. To kill one of the greatest prophets of Allah is even a bigger injustice. So that's number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they did not kill him. He was not crucified. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا Certainly he did not die. Certainly, there is no doubt about it. Okay, what happened is Allah raised him towards himself. He lifted him from the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted him from his world. Now what happened? There was a person on the cross who died. Who was that? وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ This was a person who the appearance of Jesus was thrown on him, and then he was put on the cross. They thought he was Jesus. They thought he was Isa. They crucified him, and that was the crucifixion. But Isa alayhi salam himself, before that transpired, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had lifted him. In fact, I did a khutbah on this, on the topic of, on Good Friday, actually, I talked about how the Quranic narrative actually is the one that is against the Christian narrative, and also even the secular historical narrative. They both agree, yeah, crucifixion happened, but the Quran is saying, no, Isa was not crucified. And it is actually supported by a few things, such as, for example, in the Psalms, there is a passage where they mentioned that, no harm shall touch you, and the angels will lift you on their wings, and no stone will touch your feet. This is in reference to Isa alayhi salam being the one who would be unharmed. So if that is an Isa alayhi salam himself testified that passage of the Old Testament from the Psalms is about him, how come now he is crucified? That doesn't add up. So if that is the case, that passage is about him, clearly that passage matches very closely the passage that we find in the Quran. But رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ God raised him towards himself, right? And that's a very beautiful corroboration of the truth here. So we don't need the Old Testament to corroborate the Quran for us, but it's something that's interesting that we find. So that's point number two, I believe, that he was not killed in any way. He was raised up by Allah. The one who died on the cross was some other person who the appearance of Jesus was thrown on him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they follow about this conjecture, but they only follow mere conjecture. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِ There's a book called Jesus, Man, Myth, and Messiah by Brother Abu Zakaria, where he actually shows how the Gospels of the New Testament, there is no sanad, there is no chain of narrations that link them to an author. And even the author is not a first-hand witness. If that's not conjecture, I don't know what is conjecture. It's a very interesting thing. So that's three things here. Number four, this ayah number 159, it says, there is no one from the people of the book except that they will believe in him. Okay, This is what the literal translation is. This is a translation is maybe missing the mark a little bit. Let's pull out this one. What does he say? There's none from the people of the scripture, but he will surely believe in Jesus before his death. Perfect. This is a better translation. Okay. What this means, i.e. everybody from the people of scripture who will be around will believe in him before his death, will believe in Jesus before his death. Meaning the ayah is clearly telling us he was raised up, he will be sent back, and then he will die a normal death like a normal human being dies. But before he dies, every single person who was a people of the scripture will accept Isa alayhi salam as his prophet, as Allah's prophet. Subhanallah. This is a prophecy the Quran is making about the future. And on the day of judgment, Isa alayhi salam will be a witness to this. Okay. So this is something very interesting we find in Surah An-Nisa at the very end. All these unjust statements that were sent were said by the people of Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the idea of justice and mercy being established in the surah. This is the opposite of that. What is the consequence of injustice? Injustice has consequences. It's like the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is dhulumatun, it is darkness on the day of judgment. It is darkness, it is not a source of happiness. But in the world, there is consequences too. Ayah 160, for the wrongdoing on the part of the Jews, we made unlawful for them certain good foods which had been lawful to them, and for their averting from the way of Allah many people, and for their consumption of interest while it had been forbidden, they had been forbidden from it, and their consuming wealth, people's wealth unjustly, ripping people off, exploiting people. This was all a manifestation of injustice. The faith that they had, the statements about prophets, that was a theology of injustice. And then the actions were also unjust. And that caused loss of blessings. Unlawful, certain foods that were good were made unlawful to them. Okay? And that was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did as a punishment. Now what's interesting here, brothers and sisters, is not all of them are like that. The Quran doesn't want us to think every Jewish person or every non-Muslim person is the same. Of course not, right? There were people of firm knowledge among them who were believers in what has been revealed to you and what was revealed before you. And they were establishers of prayer and givers of charity, believers in Allah on the last day. And those will have a great reward, right? Whether this is people who lived before the time of the Prophet ﷺ and they were upright people, or people who lived in the time of the Prophet ﷺ and were upright people and they ended up believing in the Prophet ﷺ as well. This is the thing the Quran wants us to understand, brothers and sisters. It is not painting a whole community with the same brush. It's not calling them all this or that. But it also, it makes exceptions where the exceptions are to be made, but it doesn't shy away. The Quran does not shy away from stating the facts. And that is how we find the narrative. Okay, the prophets of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here all these prophets. We have revealed to you, Prophet Sallam, ayah number 163, like we have revealed revelation to Noah and Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob, and the descendants, the 12 sons of Yaqub and Isa and Job and Jonah and Harun, Aaron, Sulaiman, Solomon, and Wa'atayna Dawuda Zabura, David, we gave them the book of Psalms, and other messengers that whose stories have not been related to you. The Quran is not an exhaustive book where all the messengers are mentioned. No, it is some messengers are mentioned. And of course, the honored messenger of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, wa kallam Allahu Musa taklima. Allah spoke directly with Musa alayhi salam, like I'm speaking to you in the same direct speech. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa. Of course, in a way that befits him, in a way that befits his majesty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting, kallam Allahu Musa. If this was the ayah only, there could be some interpretive wiggle room. I mean, was it, a revelation? Was it this? Was it that? Was it by through some signs? The kliman, this word completely eradicates every possibility except one, which is it was a direct speech. And this is why Musa is called Kalimullah, the one who Allah spoke to. And this was an honor Allah bestowed upon him. And he repeatedly was the one who was honored in this way. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does as a characteristic or an attribute of him in a way that befits his majesty, unlike our speech, like the way we speak as human beings. It's a different way that we speak, but it is speech, no doubt about it. How it is, we leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is part of his sifat, his characteristics that are in the unseen. The prophets, their job is described, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. They're bringers of good tidings and warners. They tell people that about good, and they warn against evil. That's the job of the messenger, and that is something that all of us should aspire to when we are preaching the religion or teaching it, right? It is both things. It's not just love, love, love. It's not just warning, 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 you know, hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. No, it's a combination of the two, right? We want to inspire people to love Allah and love the Prophet ﷺ and do goodness out of the love of Allah and His Messenger. But also there is the aspect of the punishment, and that is also mentioned as well. Wallahu a'lam. Okay. Extremism in the religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here the people of scripture, but here really he's addressing the Christians. O people of scripture, Ayah 171, do not commit excess in your religion, nor say about Allah except the truth. The Messiah, the Jesus, son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah, and his word, that which he directed to Mary, and a soul created at a command from him. That's who he was. He was one of the greatest people, one of the greatest messengers of Allah. He was the word of Allah that he directed to Mary, that was given to him, a soul that was created from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his command. He was brought into the world miraculously. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي أو آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِي. Believe in Allah and his messengers. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Don't say three, right? That God is three persons and one body, or one person and three bodies, right? إِنْتَهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Desist, it is better for you. Stop that. Okay? إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Indeed, Allah is but one God. He is one, uniquely one. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. Exalted he, is he above having a son or a daughter or any child, right? Because Allah is not like the human being. Having a child has some problematic consequences if you were to project that to Allah. Then what is the difference between him and us if he is having children and we having children? We're all, like, there's the differentiation now, the lines are blurred. But more problematically, even more, is if Allah has a child, okay, this child would belong to a race, and that race would become the chosen race, wouldn't it? That race would become super, that would supersede all other races, because that race had from its member the Son of God. That's a problematic situation, because that ideology or that theology is inherently racist. Also, to say Allah has a son is, or a son has a daughter, or has a mate or something, it reduces Allah to the creation, to the finite nature of us as beings. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be reduced. He is, you know, has always been there, will always be there, and is not encapsulated by the creation. It has many problematic consequences of this theology. Subhanahu, he is exalted above this. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. And sufficient is Allah as a disposer of affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the owner of all that exists, right? It operates on his command. The will that we have has been given to us. The agency we have has been given to us by Allah. But he is the ultimate owner of it all. And Allah says, Isa will never, ever disdain from being a servant of Allah. Never will he ever do that. He will always, you know, be a servant of Allah, and he would be proud of being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so this is the idea when it comes to extremism, right? La taghlu fi dinikum. Excess in the religion takes people too far out. You exalt a person to the level of God, It's a problematic situation. Same with the Prophet. There's some people who exalt him and make him like a demigod or something. Right? It's a problematic thing. You can't do that. You can't do that with any human being because that is exclusively Allah's domain. And the moment you do that, that's injustice because you've given something that is only Allah's to somebody else who did not deserve that. Okay. The surah has a very nice, a beginning and end. The beginning of the surah, if you remember, right here, began with Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Towards the end, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Okay, it's like a nice symmetry. Ya Ayyuhan Nas, ittaqu rabbakum, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul. Right? And here, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, a conclusive proof has come to you from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. Right? It started by talking about our beginning and our creation and the sign of us, how we exist as humans all around the world, right? That's like a sign for us to ponder the majesty of Allah. The diversity of creation reflects upon the oneness of Allah and His majesty and His glory. It speaks about our interdependence and speaks about our dependence on Him and Him being completely sufficient and independent of us. But now, at the end, Allah says here, all the proofs are laid out to you, and this is a clear light, right? More than a logical, trump card, more than, like an ace of spades that trumps all cards or whatnot. The Quran is a nuram mubina. It's something that illuminates. It illuminates your soul. It puts your mind at ease. It gives you happiness and serenity in this world, and gives you the ultimate peace and serenity in the next life. Nuram mubina. It's an experience. It's something you experience and you live that. And the one who does so, who lives that, he will admit them to paradise from himself, and give them a bounty and guide them to himself on a straight path. He, the one who wants to walk this path and attain this peace and serenity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi rahmatin minhu wa fadl. Allah will enter him into mercy and grace. Allah will guide this person to him on the straight path. You see, this is the thing. But you have to want to believe in Allah and hold on fast to him. This is a very important ayah. The beginning of the surah addressed, injustice in how people deal with others, orphans, women who were dealt injustly, yes, or unjustly. At the end of the surah speaks about injustice in theology and how injustice in theology, as we showed before, brings about injustice in actions as well. Okay, it concludes with this one of the ayat of inheritance. Again, looping back to how in the very beginning of the surah we spoke about quite extensively about inheritance, and here at the end we speak about inheritance as well, to complete the circle of speaking about justice and mercy. يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن تَضِلُّوا. God makes His law clear to you, His law, lest you go astray. And He is the one who knows all things. اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Next surah is Surah Al-Ma'idah. Al-Ma'idah, the name of Surah Al-Ma'idah, is like the table spread. Okay, Al-Ma'idah is the table spread. And its reference is the surah at the very, like the Surah Ma'idah at the very end speaks about Ma'idatan min as-sama, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam asking, right here, ayah number 114. This is we're going to cover this tomorrow, but the disciples of Isa asking Isa alayhi salam that send down for us a table spread with food from heaven. This was the Last Supper according to the Christian tradition. Okay, so it's a reference to that request. That's what the surah is called, Al-Ma'idah. Okay, but that will come tomorrow. Today we talk about what is Surah Al-Ma'idah about. Surah Al-Ma'idah is about fulfilling our commitments. That is the main theme of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And it begins by saying, O you who believe, awfu bil uqud, fulfill all contracts. Fulfill your contracts, commitments. Al-aqt, the word here, aqt. That word is the word that is used for any contract, any promises, any covenant, all of that the word aqd and uqud, it's plural, includes that. O believers, fulfill your contracts, fulfill your commitments. Very beginning of the surah, Allah SWT mentions this, and that's the theme you will see running throughout this surah, inshallah. It begins with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. You notice this is a new thing. The surah, other surahs didn't begin with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. In fact, only two surahs begin with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. This surah and then surah number 60, Surah Mumtahina. But this surah is special in that this phrase, O you who believe, it repeats 16 times in this surah. Out of a total 89 times in the Quran, 16 of those instances are here in this surah. And that's a big deal because this surah is addressing the believer. The primary audience here is the audience of the believers, those who want to listen to what Allah has to say. They are the primary audience here. And according to the scholars of tafsir, this was one of the last surahs revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. So in the audience at this time, he spent 22 years preaching, 21 years preaching. Now in the audience, most of the people, if not all, are believers. Okay. Also, it has an impact in that it is something for us to think about. When Allah says, O you who believe, He wants our attention and He wants us to, you know, like give our heart and our minds to that command, right? Don't just listen with your mind only. Don't just process it in your mind only, but also your heart. Because your iman is something, it's a matter of the heart. It's something that resides in the spiritual heart. So Allah is calling us by that. And that's why He wants us to bring both those to the table. The thing, last part here is that these statements are, there's a command with that. O you who believe, and then there's a command. Or a some sort of a forbidding, as something has been forbidding, has been forbidden, or something is being commanded. Always after, O you who believe. So this surah is filled with rulings, ahkam, things that Allah is telling us to do or telling us to stay away from. And as we'll see, there will be quite a few coming up here. Okay, let's look at that. Firstly, the first command is fulfill your contracts. This is part of our faith. This is what makes us believers. Okay, then Allah mentions some, there's some random things it seems like that are mentioned. But if you think about it from the perspective of contracts and commitments, they're all related. Some commitments that are binding to us as part of our faith, the sanctity of the Kaaba and the rituals of Hajj. This is what's mentioned here in this ayah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuhillu sha'air Allah. Do not violate the rights of Allah or the sanctity of the sacred month. This is talking about the rights of Hajj, the sacrificial animals. This is all talking about the rights of Hajj. Okay. This ayah has a lot of details. There's a lot of tafsir required to unpack it. So I'm just going to give you a glimpse of what it means, which is all these, the sacred month, tuhillu sha'air Allah, God signs, shahr al-haram, the sacred month, sacrificial animals, animals wearing garlands, indicating that they are to be sacrificed, nor those on the way to their house, the sacred house, the Kaaba, seeking the bounty and pleasure of their Lord. This is all speaking about the sanctity of the Kaaba and the rituals of Hajj. Don't violate them. That's part of your faith. That's binding on you as part of your faith. What's interesting is actually this was something the Arabs honored even before they were Muslims. They considered this to be part of the Abrahamic tradition. The people of Makkah, Quraysh, were very particular about this because this is the way that they could concentrate power. But the Quran says, don't do it just for political gains. Do it as a part of your faith. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, as believers. Okay. What's also very interesting here is a slight tangent I want to share with you. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَأْنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَن صَدُّكُمْ عَلِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَن تَحْتَدُوا. Very beautiful. Do not let the enmity of those who barge you from the sacred mosque lead you into sin. Allahu Akbar. You have been persecuted by these people. They have stopped you from going to the sacred mosque, the people of Quraysh. They kicked you out of your homes. They did this and they did that to you. But don't let their enemy, or don't let the animosity that you have towards them, which is rightful, right? They've done wrong to you. Rightfully, you will have animosity towards them. Don't let that lead you into sin. Don't let that lead you. Ta'tadu is actually, don't let that make you cross the boundaries. Subhanallah. Even with animosity, you're not allowed to cross the boundaries to become an oppressor. That's part of what's binding upon us as faith. Ta'awanu 'alal birri wa taqwa. Help one another in goodness and piety. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not help one another in sin and transgression. Maybe some of you want to transgress. Maybe some of you want to be unjust, act unjustly to those who are rightfully, you have animosity towards. Don't do that. Help that person. Stop them. The Prophet ﷺ said, أُنصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. Help your brother, whether he is an oppressor or he's oppressed. The Sahaba said, well, we can help him when he's oppressed. How can we help him if he's an oppressor? That's what Prophet ﷺ said, stop him from his oppression. That's helping him. Stop him from his oppression. That is helping your brother. And that is something that we do. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْنِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. It's a very beautiful instruction for us. What's binding upon us as believers is what we eat, right? We're careful about what we eat. What's forbidden to you is carrion, blood and pork, and all these rulings. وَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. What has been sacrificed in the name of other than God, a creature that was strangled or killed by a blow or in a fall, etc., etc. Many, many rulings are here. What we can eat is mentioned. But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very important. He says in the middle of this passage, الْيَوْمَ يَئِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن دِينُكُمْ. Those who deny the truth today have this day despaired of ever harming your religion. So do not fear them, fear me. Today I have completed your religion for you and completed my blessing upon you. I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Subhanallah. This is part of Allah's favor and blessing. The way we follow the rituals of Islam, the way we follow the morality of Islam, the way we try to uphold the prophetic example is part of Allah's favor upon us, as part of Allah's blessing upon us. And for us to attain that blessing fully, we must commit to doing these things fully as well. All right. It mentions food, right? Food, what is halal? What's haram? Oh my goodness. قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. All good things have been made lawful to you. The only things that are haram are few and they're listed, right? It's a restricted group. Everything else is halal and everything else that's good is halal, okay? What's been made haram has something that is not good about it, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram. What's part of this as well is who we can marry and who we can build families with. It mentions here, remember I told you before that a Muslim cannot marry a polytheistic woman, and a Muslim woman cannot marry a polytheist man. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an exception to the rule, which is the chaste believing women and the chaste women of the people of who were given the book before you are lawful to you in marriage, provided that you give them their dowers, right? You make this a proper marriage, you give them their rights, you marry them, neither committing fornication nor taking them as mistresses. Don't make this into a joke, right? That this is a way for you to have some side chicks or something. No, this is meant to be a real thing, and only it's only real when it is done in the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, in both ways. But this is something the Quran makes an exception for the Muslim men to do. And there's many reasons why this is something that's done for the men, and it's not permitted for the women. For example, the men in Abrahamic faiths, the family name is carried through the men. So if a Muslim woman is to marry a non-Muslim man, immediately her children are distanced from Islam. Another reason is a lot of the Islamic rituals and public rituals are conducted by men, and the fathers are the ones who are responsible for taking their children and upholding these rituals. And if a woman is in that situation, immediately her children are distanced from that. And even without the children, it's actually the head of the household, as we have discussed before, is the husband. And for a Muslim woman, this is not a palatable situation to be in. Okay, so this is some reasons that are there just that I'm mentioning to you. But the Quran gives this exception to the men. And of course, this idea of marrying someone who is not from a Muslim faith, a Christian or a Jew, has to be done again with the peace of mind, knowing that the children that you have are not going to be, they're not going to lose their faith, and they're going to be brought up with the values and the religion of Islam. Okay, but this is an interesting thing, right? Like, you know, people think, oh, the Quran is teaching animosity towards the Jews and Christians. Well, it's saying you can marry them. Clearly, there's not teaching, you know, like pure animosity, right? It talks about theological flaws. It talks about historical mistakes. It talks about, what a believer, what they should aspire to be. But at the end of the day, you know, you can build, you know, intermarriage like this does build community. And that's part and parcel. There's no problem with that. So that is mentioned there, alhamdulillah. What's mentioned also as part of our contracts that are binding upon us are wudu and purification. This is called ayatul wudu. I want you to put a mark here in your Quran. If you're studying with me, inshallah, and you have a Quran with you, put a mark next to this ayah. Very beautiful ayah. The ayah that tells us about wudu. What is this ayah? It says, when you rise to pray, wash your faces. That's pillar number one. Your hands up to the elbow. Number two, wipe your heads. Number three, wash your feet up to the ankles, number four. That's the four main parts of wudu. The fifth part is doing all this in order. Okay? That is wudu. Very, very simple, very beautiful. If you are in a state of impurity, take a full bath. Impurity is you have, you know, if someone has been intimate or someone has had a wet dream or something similar, or a woman, she's just finished her period, then she has to take a full bath, or he has to take a full bath in the case he was intimate and whatnot. And if you're sick on a journey and you have to take a bath, but you can't find any water, فَتَيَمَّمُ صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا, right? What do you do? Do you like kill yourself or something? No, the religion makes an exception, gives you an alternative. The alternative is take some clean sand and rub your faces and hands with it. You're not supposed to roll around in the dirt. That's not the point. This is a pure ritual to allow us to do the ritual of salah. All right. Intrinsically, the believer is always pure. Okay. This is a ritualistic purity attained by washing our face and hands. But if you don't have water, it's attained by, you know, famsahu bi wujuhikum wa aydikum minhu. It is just by ritualistically rubbing dirt on our faces and hands ritualistically. Okay. Clean. Sayyidan tayyiban. It's not like, you know, you're taking something filthy and nasty. It is just some little dust, and you can actually even blow it off your hand so it doesn't make you fully dirty. Okay, this is the idea of wudu. The whole point of rituals and purification, ritualistic purity, is ma yuridu Allahu liyaj'ala 'alaykum min haraj. God does not wish to place any burden on you. This is the point of the religion. It's not meant to make your life burdensome or miserable. He only wishes to purify you. وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, and to perfect his favor upon you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, in order that you might be grateful. This is to purify you of sins. It's to for you to attain entirety of God's blessings. You live in a state of blessing without even doing anything. Okay? But to attain the entirety of his blessings, these rituals that you have to do as part of your faith. This is binding on us as part of our faith. This is the commitment that we have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another commitment that we have made to Allah is standing up for justice. Right? You see a variety of things: food, marriage, wudu, purification, rituals, but also causes. Be steadfast in the cause of God and bear witness with justice. Same as the previous surah. Very similar expression as the previous surah, because this is binding on the believer. And again, don't let your enmity for others turn you away from justice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. This is one of my favorite ayat. And again, I want you to maybe make a note next to it. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Deal justly, that is nearer to being God-fearing. This is like a line of the part of the ayat to live by. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Do not let the enmity for others turn you away from justice. Don't become unjust because of your feelings. Even if your feelings are righteous feelings. It's you're rightfully feeling wronged by this person. Don't let that turn you into an oppressor. Attaqullah, be fear God, because He is aware of what you do. Again, notice this ayah began with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. This is where Allah wants us to use our minds and our hearts. It's both things have to be there. And when you do that, Allah says He's promised you forgiveness and a great reward. Forgiveness and a great reward. Okay? This is a great favor that Allah has done to us, that He has set down these commands to us. And when a person, rejects this or leaves this, they're letting go of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Allah says, remember the blessing that God bestowed upon you. This religion is a blessing. What had happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was saved by Allah from the different animosity and plans of the people, that was a blessing of Allah. Okay, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then moves on to talking about the people of the scripture before. He will speak about the Bani Israel, the Israelites, and then the Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same type of a contract Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took with the Israelites, a covenant with the children of Israel. And there were 12 leaders that were raised among them. And Allah said, I will be with you if you attend to your prayers and pay the alms and believe in my messengers. Ayah 12. And of course, as Allah said, I will forgive you your sins and admit you into gardens through which rivers flow. The same promise was given to them. But if you were to disobey or disbelieve, you shall then stray away from the straight path. But the Jewish community, the Israelites, they broke their solemn pledge. And that was the reason for them to lose their favors and blessings. Okay? And this was not just like something rhetorical, right? There's not just some hyperbole here in the Quran. The Quran gives examples. They distorted the meanings of the revealed words, taking them out of context, and forgot much of what was enjoined to them. They forged revelation, changed its meanings. Okay? And this was something that is blasphemous. You are, saying something, claiming is the word of God to attain some material gains to get to your means. This is a very disgusting act. So that was the consequence for them. The Christians, on the other hand, same thing. A covenant was made with them. But Allah says, فَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. But they too have forgotten much of what they were enjoined. And this is an interesting thing, because that the Jews do have a lot of their original revelation, quite a bit of it with them still in the Old Testament. The Christians in the New Testament have very little traceability, unfortunately. This is a historical, this is something that you can show historically. فَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. So we put enmity and hatred between them until the day of judgment. And this is actually a something that Al-Quran points to when it comes to the different sects of Christianity. It's a very interesting thing the Quran alludes to. A result, direct result of breaking the promise and the commitment that we're supposed to make. This is the idea. Believers, you do this, that's what's going to happen to you. And subhanAllah, we did this. We forgot what the Quran was saying, and now we're in different sects and groups. We didn't uphold the values of the Quran and Sunnah, and now we are far away from Allah's blessings and grace. It's not just a criticism of these two faith groups. It's a warning for us, and unfortunately, the Muslim community did not heed that warning. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to the Jews and the Christians as well. Ayah number 15, O people of the book, our messenger has come to you to make clear to you much of what has been hidden of the scriptures and to forgive you much. وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. It's a light that has come to you from God and a clear book. Ayah number 19 also mentions something similar. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ عَلَى فَتْرَةٍ مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ. People of the book, our messenger has come to you to make things clear to you after an interval between the messengers. There was a time period between messengers, but then here is the final one. Lest you say, no bearer of glad tidings and no warner came to us. So here he is, a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and Allah has power to do all things. The Quran also mentions ayah number 17, a very interesting ayah. It is a tangent about Isa alayhi salam, right? And again, this is particularly a tangent with the Christians. The Christians would say, well, though he's the son of God and that's all we need. The Quran says, no, it is in fact blasphemy to say God is Christ, the son of Mary. Isa ibn Maryam. And that's an interesting expression. The Quran always calls him the son of Mary, the son of Mary. In Arabic, you actually don't say the son of a woman. Like, you don't use that expression. You would say, you know, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, for example. Right? You would use the father as the last name for that person. But here the Quran repeatedly uses Maryam alayhi salam as the last name for Isa to highlight that he didn't have a father. Okay? And he is not the son of God. Okay? Now, it says, قُلْ فَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Who then could prevent God, if he so willed, from destroying Christ, the son of Mary, and his mother, and everyone on earth, right? No one can stop that if Allah wanted to. The kingdom of the heavens and the earth belong to him, and he creates what he wills. He has power over all things. Another interesting example that the Quran will give about Isa alayhi salam, which I'll show you right now, since it is related to him, it will come a little bit later. I'm just scrolling to find it. Let me actually stop scrolling and find it quickly for you. To highlight again that the Isa is not considered to be the son of God. Okay. Look at this ayah, ayah number 75 as well. Similar ayah in the same juz right here. Okay. مَلْ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ. Christ, the son of Mary. Again, Isa, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers passed away before him. Just like he was a messenger, a man, many messengers before him were men as well. And they lived and died. His mother was a virtuous woman. وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَ. She was the top-ranked woman of all time. كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. Interesting. They both ate food like other mortals. They were dependent beings. Like every other mortal, they were dependent. We are dependent on the oxygen we breathe, the food that we eat. You deprive us of that, we die. We can't survive. Okay? These two were also mortals. Evidenced by the fact that they used to eat food. Okay, how can they be God? How can they be the ones that control the universe and have the power over all things? How can they be, right? Or how can Isa be that? انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أنا يؤفكون. See how we make the signs clear to them and see how they turn away, right? So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Now he mentions also in this surah, let me go back to ayah number 18 here. Ayah number 18. Ayah number 20. Here the story of Moses is mentioned. And this is in reality mentioning about what it means to live as a faithful person. Here Musa is mentioned. He says to his people, oh my people, remember God's favor upon you. He's saying, hey people, Allah has done you all these favors. What you need to do after you have crossed the Red Sea is enter this blessed land and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory. But the Bani Israelites were like, no, Moses, we're not going to enter this land. There's some powerful people there. We don't want to be there fighting them. But not all of them were bad. قَالَ رَجُلَانَ. There were two God-fearing men among them who God had blessed. They said, no, no, no. Let's go as Musa is saying. Let's do as he's saying. And if you do that, you'll be victorious and put your trust in God. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا. They said, Moses, we will never enter it. As long as they are there. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. Go you and your Lord fight. We will stay here. SubhanAllah. This is the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning what it means to commit yourself to your faith. Bravery is faith. Bravery is faith. These two men, right? Allah says, these two Israelites, Allah says Allah had blessed them. They had the faith, and because of their faith, they had bravery. The other Israelites, they did not have faith, or their faith was weak, and that's why they were cowards. SubhanAllah. The story of, and Musa alayhi salam says, oh Allah, I can't do anything about these people, so separate us from the disobedient people. And again, as I mentioned, as the Quran repeats the idea, you disobey a prophet, you keep disobeying Allah, blessings will be taken away. What was the blessing that was taken away from them? The land is forbidden to them for 40 years while they wander around the earth bewildered. And someone as great as Musa al-Islam was not able to attain entering the land, the holy land of Jerusalem. He was not able to do that. Also mentions the story of the two sons of Adam, ayah number 27. Watlu alayhim naba abnai Adam bil haqq. Here, this is again a reality of fate. Two brothers fighting because one of them, their action was accepted by Allah, the other, their action was not accepted by Allah. Being jealous of Allah's grace, okay? Even though Allah said He is wasi'un, His grace is for everybody. You just ask Him for it. But He became angry that this person's sacrifice was accepted. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ He said, I shall kill you. And of course, he did. But when he did, he became, فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ His lower self persuaded him to kill his brother. His ego, his, the beastly desires of a human being, right? That is what he wanted, that spurred him on. And he killed his brother. For what? For nothing, right? فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And at that point, he became a complete loser. Okay. And he even became, repentant. He was, sorrowful, right? Because he saw his brother's dead body lying there, and Allah sent a crow to show him how to bury this body. And he says, how pathetic am I? I'm not even to be like this raven, so I may hide the corpse of my body. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ He became regretful. And this was a very, very big moment because this was like the first time in human history someone had killed another person. Subhanallah. Again, reality of faith. Sometimes Allah blesses people, and instead of being jealous of their blessings, you should ask Allah for the blessings. That's the point. But because of this person killing another person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is why the law was laid down in the book of the Israelites and every other scripture since until the Quran, including the Quran, that the one who kills, أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسِ Right, killed a human being, except as a punishment for murder or spreading corruption to the land, shall be regarded as having killed all of mankind. And whoever saved a human life shall be regarded as saving all of humankind, all of mankind. Allahu Akbar. This is the rule that Allah gave to the Israelites all the way to the Quran. This is the same rule. The exception is, if there is a due course of due process, a person goes through due process and they're found guilty of being murderer or spreading corruption in the land, then this is, a penal code punishment that could be levied upon them, not as individual vigilantes, but as a system of law. But outside of that, absolutely anybody who kills is like they have killed the whole humanity. From وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا Subhanallah. How nice of a expression this is. A human being representing all of humanity. The Quran mentions that the Sharia of Islam does make an exception, right? Because you cannot let the ones who are corrupt and have power dominate. So to limit that kind of destructive behavior, those who make war against God and His Messenger and spread disorder in the land, these are people who are pillaging the land, right? They're destroying people, killing people, right? Irrespective of what their faith is, this is called waging a war against God and His Messenger. They shall be put to that, and they should be made an example of, right? Because they have, killed people, looted lands, pillaged societies. They need to be put to an end and crucified. Not in the way of an individual doing this, but this is again a Muslim government stepping in and doing this to prevent that evil from spreading and to make an example of this evil so others are not even thinking of this again. The exception is there always. The Quran gives us laws that make sense. These are laws that are dealing with the fringes, and fringes, the ones who are extreme, require this kind of a tough, stern law. But the vast majority, the law is, you kill a human being, it's like you've killed all of humanity. Okay. The Quran mentions after this, consoles the Prophet. Okay, it consoles the Prophet. It says, O Messenger of Allah, ayah number 41, لا يحزنك الذين يسارعون في الكفر. Do not be grieved by those who vie with one another to deny in denying the truth. Those who say we believe with their tongues, but have no faith in their hearts. The Prophet would be very sad. He said, hey, how come these people are not listening to me when I am putting my best foot forward and trying my best, right? But he was saddened by that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't be saddened by them. Okay, the Quran mentions that all divine laws should be implemented. Inna anzalna tawrata fiha hudan wa nur. And I want you to check this out. Look at this. We have revealed the Torah in which there is guidance and light. Allahu Akbar. Okay. By it, the prophets who were obedient to us judged the Jews. And so did the rabbis and priests. وَالرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ Please remember this expression. بِمَسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ According to God's book, which had been entrusted to their care, وَكَانُوا عَلَيْهِ شُهَدَى To which they were witnesses. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the Jewish community here. Number one point. Point number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the Torah was revealed by Allah as a guidance and light, and it was meant to be implemented. It was meant to be implemented. The law of God is meant to be implemented. These two points, keep in mind. I'm going to come back to that in a second. The law of the Injil. The law of the Injil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ayah 46. We caused Jesus, the son of Mary, to follow in their footsteps, fulfilling what had been revealed before him in the Torah. We gave him the gospel, which contained guidance and light, fulfilling what was revealed before in the Torah, a guide and a admonition to the God-fearing. So why isn't it that the people of the Gospels don't implement the Gospel? وَلْيَحْكُمْ أَهْلُ الْإِنْجِيلِ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ Let those who follow the Gospel judge according to what God has revealed. Interesting, right? And this is something that's the Pauline creed is, you know, the law of Moses is not applicable, and the law of the Bible is all like, you know, you don't have to live by it. As long as you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you'll be saved. That's all you need. You know, I'm simplifying it. But the Quran says, if you believe in it as revelation, you have to implement it. And likewise, the inna anzalna ilayka al-kitab, you've sent down the book with the truth to you, fulfilling the predictions in the previous scriptures and determining what is true therein as a guardian over it. So judge therefore between them by what God has revealed. Implement the book. Implement it. That's what the divine laws are meant to be implemented. They were set to be implemented. That is what, brothers and sisters, it means to be fulfilling your commitment to Allah. That's what fulfilling our commitments to Allah means. We live by the laws of the Quran and Sunnah, right? Then look at what it says. أَفَ حُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ Is it pagan laws that they wish to be judged by? Who is better judge than God from men whose faith is firm? Okay. The people, the Quran mentions the Jews and the Christians, right? It says don't take them as allies. Here it's specifically talking about political allies undermining other believing groups. Okay, this is what it says. As I mentioned before, the ayat in the very beginning talked about you can marry a Jew or a Christian, right? So you can marry them. You can have a family with them. So that's, you know, on a social level. Here it's about a political allegiance or a theological allegiance. Don't do this to undermine your fellow believers. And unfortunately, the Muslims have done this and are reaping the sour fruit of that action today. Okay. The Quran also mentions, and I'm going to conclude with this point, inshallah. Remember the two things I said about the Jews there, about those who were given the book, the priests and rabbis. The priests and rabbis. Remember these two. Look at how in that beginning of that ayah, let's compare and contrast that. Let me pull up the ayah here. And this is an important point. Ayah number 44 talks about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the priests and rabbis because they did good, right? And here at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here in ayah number 62 and 63, look at this. وترى كثيرا منهم يسارعون في الإثم والعدوان وأكلهم السحت لبئس ما كانوا يعملون. You see many among them vie with one another in sin and transgression and practice what is unlawful. It is vile indeed what they have been doing. لولا ينهاهم الربانيون والأحبار. Why do their rabbis and scholars not forbid them to utter sinful words and consume what is unlawful? Why don't they stop them from saying these sinful things and consuming these unlawful things? لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. How vile indeed their actions are. Look at this ayah. Ayah 44, Allah praises رَبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ, the priests and rabbis. Yes? In ayah number 63, الرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes them. Because in ayah number 44 here, they were doing something good. In ayah number 63, they're doing something evil. And this is the way the Quran speaks about people. People, when they do good, they are praised, and they're told that this is a good thing. And when people do something evil, they are held accountable. So this is, brothers and sisters, a brief look at this juz that we have today, the sixth juz. And the theme for us is fulfilling our commitments. And this religion of ours is a commitment that we made to Allah. And many, many things go into that commitment. Some of them are actions. Some of them are tenets of faith. Some of them are, you know, ideas about how we view life. But all of them together is a commitment to Allah. And we are asked to fulfill our commitment. And we pray to Allah that He gives us the ability to fulfill our commitments. Jazakumullah khairan. We have a question. If you can only eat food when God's name is pronounced over it, Sister Laura is asking, does this mean that you can eat a burger, example from Burger King, and pronounce God's name over it? Or does it actually have to be at the time the animal is slaughtered? Great question, Sister Laura. There is some debate about the scholars about whether that applies to modern times, right? Like, are the, you know, in the society we live in, is this, can you call this a people of the scriptures? And this is it's an open question, right? If you are convinced that you can say the people around us are, you know, people of the scripture, then you can say Bismillah and eat the food, and that's fine, because the Prophet ﷺ, when he was given food by the Christians by the Jews, the Prophet ﷺ said Bismillah and ate the food that they gave him. Okay, so this is one thing. But if you consider that they're not the people of the book, right? There's too many. It's too secular or too non-religious, or it's not the same as the Prophet being given food by a Christian, or living in a society like, say, the Vatican, for example, right? There's too many differences, then it's not the same thing, and you can't just do that. So it goes back to how you view the concept of who the people of the book are. Wallahu alam. I hope that makes sense. I do say that, like, for example, when you have family who's Christian or family who's Jews, you should be comfortable eating food with them. Of course, not the haram stuff like pork or alcohol, right? But beef and chicken and whatnot, because they're your family. And it's a way, the idea is, this is a way for us to, you know, remain together, for them to see you as a good person, as a person first, and then for them to see the goodness of Islam through you, right? And to keep those ties of family and community together. So if you have family that isn't Muslim, they're Christian and Jew, and they're, you know, you're eating with them, you know, be lax about that, inshallah. And as not whatever is not haram outright, of course, avoid that. But everything else, be lax about it. Treat them like the people of the broken child, and consume the food that they have to offer, inshallah. I hope that makes sense. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming out. And I'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same place. One of my uncles in Pakistan passed away. So I ask you to remember him in your du'as. May Allah have mercy on him and forgive him and enter in him into the highest levels of paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And to everybody who's lost someone, same du'a for you as well. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.